This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome to Taylor Talk episode 60, everybody. My name is Adam.
I'm Maya.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
We've got a great episode planned for you guys. Diane and I actually just saw the Red Tour for the first time. That was interesting. I wish we could talk about it, but Steve over here, Mr. Anti-Spoiler, we can't say anything.
Well, we can't say one thing, but we can talk about that later in the episode.
Or we can talk about it. Steve, would it bother you if we talked about it?
No, go ahead and talk about it. I'll just cover my ears if it's something that I shouldn't hear. I mean, I'm going to go to my show here in like 2 weeks. We'll be good.
If I know what it is, it's not something that will bug you.
Okay, no, cool. It's something very unique to us, specifically.
Okay. So it'll be fine.
Fire away.
Okay, it's pretty much something that blew my mind. Let me go on Twitter right now and find the tweet that I tweeted at 10:51 a.m. on Friday, the morning of Taylor's concert. I tweeted, at Taylor Swift, I'm going to your Indianapolis show with my boyfriend tonight, ... Will you please play mine? Thanks, happy face. So when Taylor went out on the B stage Friday night, she said that she has been taking song requests, and she got this one from Twitter. And at that moment, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I tweeted her this morning, like, maybe it's mine. Mine, you know. And then she started playing mine, and I was just freaking out. I was shaking, I was crying a little bit, because I was thinking, oh my gosh, what if Taylor actually read my tweet? I mean, she probably has someone paid to do that, but still, it was pretty cool.
Awesome.
So I bet she reads her own tweets. I don't think she pays someone to read her tweets. She is not that privileged. Come on now. She can read her tweets.
Maya, she's getting thousands and thousands and thousands of mentions a day.
Doesn't mean she doesn't know how to read.
Or respond to the important ones. You can ignore some and read the important ones.
All right. Well, what do you guys think? Do you think it was Diane's tweet that caused her to read mine or sing mine?
I think there's a solid possibility. Yeah.
That'd be super cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Super cool.
Alrighty then. So that's our cool story. We won't tell you any more about the Red Tour because we don't want to spoil Steve or anyone else that hasn't seen the show yet. So Steve is going to give us the first couple news items. Steve.
All right. The Radio Disney Music Awards were on April 27th. Taylor was not in attendance because she was performing the Lexington, Kentucky Red Tour show. She did win two awards. She won Song of the Year for I Knew You Were Trouble, and she won Best Breakup Song for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. She did lose the Best Female Artist Award to actually her friend Selena Gomez, so it wasn't complete loss there. It was also announced that Taylor will be performing at the Summertime Ball in 2013 here in London. It'll be Sunday, June 9th. So actually, it'll be right around CMA Fest. So I think she's going to perform one of the early CMA Fest days and then fly over to London after that. This event will be hosted by Justin Timberlake and will include Taylor Swift, Robbie Williams, will.i.am, Ellie Goulding, The Wanted, and Psy. And there's actually a bunch of other artists too. The event's already sold out, but if you want more information or see the other artists that are going to be there, go to capitalfm.com/summertime-ball.
Does Psy actually have enough songs to do a full set?
I think he has more songs. He just, like, they haven't been singles here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you into K-pop at all there, Adam?
I actually can't stand Psy. I'm probably one of the few people alive that has never actually seen the Gangnam Style video.
No, I also haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it either, Diane?
No, I haven't.
The video is so funny, and his new video for the song Gentleman is really funny, too.
Is that in English or in Korean, too?
It's a combination.
It's a combination, and I don't know. I'm kind
of... It's mostly Korean, and the chorus is some English in it.
So like Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
I think we've derailed the conversation enough here.
We're very off topic.
Let's get back to Taylor Swift. So in other Taylor news, Taylor is one of the three finalists for the Milestone Award that will be presented at the 2013 Billboard Music Awards on May 19th. The other finalists include Bruno Mars and Justin Bieber. There is no limit on the fan voting, so you guys should go vote as much and as often as you want. You can do that at billboard.com/milestone. And finally, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, made some jokes during the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner, including some about celebrities Jay-Z, Taylor Swift, and Daniel Day-Lewis. He said, "We need to make progress on some important issues. Take the sequester. Republicans fell in love with this thing, and now they can't stop talking about how much they hate it. It's like we're trapped in a Taylor Swift album."
Oh, no.
Wow. That's funny.
Oh.
It's pretty good, though, when the President of the United States is saying your name, even in joking like that. It's still, that's pretty impressive.
Well, you know, Barack Obama is a Taylor supporter after the comment he made about, what's his name?
Kanye West.
Kanye West, yeah.
You know what his name is.
We don't even bring his name up on this episode. You're going to have to go ahead and edit that out later, Adam.
Yeah, we don't mention that name here on Taylor Talk.
Oh, goodness.
Adam, I'm going to let you finish, but why don't we go on to the tour updates with Maya?
Oh, Steve, you got me.
All right, so on April 25th, Taylor had a show in Cleveland, Ohio, and the acoustic song that she did was The Best Day, which is really cute. Apparently, I guess there was a mom and daughter at the show who inspired that, so that was fun. And then the next day, she was in Indianapolis, and as you already heard, the B-stage song was Mine, which possibly came from Diane, which is pretty cool. And then yesterday, on the 27th, she had a show in Lexington, Kentucky, and the acoustic song that she did was Our Song, which a lot of people were really excited about because she hasn't sung that one in a while.
That's one of my favorites.
And the tour will start the month of May in Detroit, Michigan on May 4th, which is going to be the first stadium show of the tour. After that is going to be Louisville, Kentucky on May 7th and Columbus, Ohio on May 8th.
Great. Thanks for that, Maya. Since you're on a roll, why don't you give us our first mini segment?
Okay. This first one is from @13alltooswift on Twitter, and they said, "You know you're a Swiftie when the only soda you drink is Diet Coke and you only wear CoverGirl makeup."
Diet Coke.
Guess I'll do the next one here. You know you're a Swiftie when you open the refrigerator and start singing All Too Well. And that came from the Swift Factor, of course, referring to the dancing around in the kitchen and the refrigerator light, which people love that line. That is one of the more popular lines that I see people tweet about all the time.
It's just very weird to have this like very emotional song and then suddenly there's a line about refrigerators.
It is kind of funny. It's also odd. People are always like, you know, well, Taylor should have all this money. Why can't she just turn on the regular lights in the kitchen? Why does she have to, like, dance around in the refrigerator
light? Because it's more magical to have the refrigerator light on.
It is. It's almost like a spotlight.
I just think it's part of Taylor's visual element to her songs. You can actually picture the scene in your head.
Have you guys ever danced around in the refrigerator light?
I can't say that I have. No.
I probably have. When no one else is home.
I've, like, hung out in front of the refrigerator trying to decide what to eat. That's not really the same thing.
Usually my experience with refrigerator lights is I stand in front of the fridge staring into the emptiness, determining what I want to eat, only to realize there is no food in there.
Yeah, and then it just gets sad. And then you just end up eating something you didn't even want to eat because it's the only thing you have.
Wah, wah, wah.
The final one comes from Swift Agency 13 on Twitter, and she says, "You know you're a Swiftie when there's a guy who has a crush on you, and the only way he knows how to make conversation with you is if you talk about Taylor Swift."
Okay.
Has that ever happened to you, Diane and Maya? Have you ever been flirted with being like, "Yeah, I like Taylor Swift too"?
No, mostly because I don't tend to be very overt about liking her. Like, I don't like wear Taylor shirts all the time, so I don't think people would necessarily know.
So are you saying, Maya, that you're a closet Taylor Swift fan?
A secret Swiftie.
Like, my friends know. And like, if you come into my room, there's like, I have like a framed picture of her. So like, you probably get an idea.
But you don't have like posters like all over the wall like some of us do.
No, I have the signed picture of her, and then I have, like, my pictures with her, but that's it.
Well, those are the important ones.
Yeah.
I have a life-size Taylor Swift cardboard cutout in my room.
I know, Adam. We're all aware at this stage of the game. I think you have a life-size Shaquille O'Neal one to go with that.
Yeah, Taylor and Shaq are actually standing next to each other, which is funny you brought that up, Steve, because as tall as Taylor is, she actually only comes up to Shaq's armpit.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Shaq's a big guy. So, anyway, thanks to everybody who sent those in. Keep sending them in so we have more for future episodes that we can read off. We're going to kick off our main discussion now, which is a big question on the minds of people everywhere, and that is Taylor Swift still country, or is she pop, or somewhere in between? So we're going to tackle several different arguments that people have, get our opinions from our panel, things like that. So, one of the concerns with people claiming that she is no longer country is the fact that even though she still goes to these country music awards like CMA and ACMs, she didn't win a single award at either of those. Why is that?
I think it's probably because the CMAs and the ACMs realized that like her last album, Red, maybe had like two songs on it that were possibly country, but I mean they were still a little bit more pop, so I guess they see that she's moving away from that scene towards pop, so I don't think they consider her country anymore.
I think part of it actually, and we brought it up in a previous episode, there is the award shows are actually for the previous year, so her 2012 year was pretty quiet in terms of what she did other than with the Civil Wars. So really most of the stuff on Red, because it just came out in, you know, October, is not really going to be eligible until, you know, this year's CMA and ACM. So 2013 may be a year that she starts winning a bunch of these awards again, and this will be a non-issue.
So Steve, what you're saying is that a lot of the items off of Red are not going to be eligible till next year's award shows. However, she still did have 8 nominations between those two shows. So if she was nominated, that means there are things that are eligible, or she wouldn't get the nomination, and she still did not get the actual award, though.
Yeah, I mean, Red was up for Album of the Year.
Right, but unless they nominate her so she can go and they can get people to watch the show, you know, because, I mean, Taylor draws crowds.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's unfair of them to use her like that, assuming
like
that's what
they're
doing.
Like, a lot of us watch just to see her. Like, I think there are a lot of Taylor fans who aren't necessarily country fans, and the people producing these shows know that, and they know that if they have Taylor at the show, then they're going to get more views.
That's true.
So I wonder if that, assuming that's the case, which obviously we don't know for sure because we're not sitting on the board of the Academy of Country Music.
Someday.
Yet. But, you know, we don't know exactly what their mindset is, but assuming that is their mindset, do you think Taylor actually knows that?
I don't think she's stupid.
So then why would she do it? Because that would almost...
What's she going to do? Not showing up to the shows would make it worse.
That's what Toby Keith did about the CMAs. He was up for a lot of nominations. 1 year, I think he was up for 7 and didn't win a single one. And pretty soon thereafter, he wanted nothing to do with the CMA. Like, for instance, he does not perform at CMA Fest. He's always in town, too, because he's always there for the CMT Awards, which is the first day before CMA Fest starts there. And so it's not that he's not around or not available. He just wants nothing to do with CMA because of what happened. And that's not good for an artist to do that, though, because then you've isolated and said, hey, anybody that pays attention to the CMA, they're not going to hear anything about, you know, a particular artist.
Well, do you know what, though, Steve? Taylor has, in fact, not showed up for award shows before, specifically the ACAs in December 2011. She didn't show up to that, and I'm still borderline on whether or not I think there was some sort of conspiracy going on, because that night, if I remember correctly, across all the Big Machine artists, there were like 17 nominations that night, and Big Machine did not walk away with a single one.
It's not just that night. It's every time they have that award show, they nominate a whole bunch of people from Big Machine, and then all of them lose, no matter what. So she's never gone to that show because they know about it. They know that she's going to lose, so she just doesn't go.
Exactly. So why is that any different than the ACMs? Did she know she was going to lose that?
No, I think she still thinks that she has a chance. I mean, especially because the ACMs was apparently fan-voted. So, and she always does well with fan-voted. So there was not a whole reason to think she was going to lose.
But as we talked about in the previous episodes, it's not entirely fan voted. Our fan vote is split with the Academy of Country Music.
I mean, the thing is, though, like, with the actual legit shows, like the ACMs and the CMAs, she hasn't had a problem with them before. She hasn't really had them sort of icing her out and not wanting her to win stuff. So I don't think she had any reason to expect that this year.
In the previous year, she won Entertainer of the Year at both the CMAs and the ACM. So it's not like it's like, oh, every single time she never wins. Right. It's just this particular year.
Right. So I'm wondering, going back to the original question, though, her not winning this year, does that sort of justify a claim that she's no longer country?
In their eyes, maybe.
Let's see another year.
I think I'm with Steve on that. I think we need to watch for one more year and see what happens at next year's awards.
Yeah, if it happens again, then obviously we'll have a better idea of how everyone's feeling about it.
Right. So moving on from that argument, next thing is talking about the actual themes of the song. So, I mean, I don't know. If people are complaining because the songs are slightly different, I don't necessarily understand that, because the overall theme is still the same. It's still about love and either happily ever after versus ending in a bad breakup, things like that. But it's really only little details that have changed, like a Maserati versus a pickup truck.
I think country fans want, at least from what I've seen of like music that's popular right now, like for example, Florida Georgia Line, there's those details in there that are very unique to country. And I think that they want that in their music and feel like it's less relatable if those elements aren't there.
I mean, in a way, it's a stereotype, you know, the pickup trucks, the going to the bar and drinking and, you know, just the having a dog and that kind of stuff. But
right. It's a stereotype, but I think it's a stereotype that people like in their, like country fans like in their music.
It, like, says, hey, this is a country song, you know, because you want to define the genre, and that's kind of a way to do it is, you know, the songs, you know, feed into that particular group. You know, they talk about farmers, and, you know, those are the people that are supposed to be listening to the country songs. Now, I think country is a lot more widespread than it originally was. I mean, it's more, you know, popular than it's ever been, so there's a wider group of people that are listening to, so we're not all farmers that are listening to the kind of music anymore.
Right.
But I don't know if that totally makes or breaks it, but I do see that people do seem to care, especially with certain lyrics that are like, Maserati, well, that definitely is not anything country-related. Who would talk about that, other than if you're a rich celebrity? Because if you don't talk about a Chevy or a Ford, that's the other thing, is it's always funny to watch country artists. You got to see if they're a Chevy guy or a Ford guy. You know, Alan Jackson will sing. I think he sings about Chevy. Toby Keith sings about Ford, and even Ford sponsored one of his tours a couple years back.
Well, hopefully more people are Chevy than Ford. Not that I have a bias, but I do.
Or maybe Taylor Swift's next tour will be sponsored by Maserati. How about that? And then we get to drive Maseratis around.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That would be sweet.
I would be okay with that.
Like, outside the venue? Like,
I
have
don't
a
think
Maserati
they'd let us
track.
Anywhere near the Maseratis, I think.
Swifties driving Maseratis.
No, thank you.
I'd do it. But, you know, going a little more in depth, going to what goes into the songs, why don't we talk about some of the co-writers and producers and things like that and see what they're known for? So Nathan Chapman produced most of her early work, if not all of it,
mm-hmm.
where Red had several other producers.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know offhand who that includes?
Well, that was like Max Martin and Shell Back.
And Dan Wilson.
Her co-writers also produced.
A lot
Dan
of times
Wilson
that was the
produced,
case.
And the one, the Holy Ground one. Does anyone remember?
Jeff Basker?
Yes. Jeff Basker. Dan Wilson. And Nathan Chapman produced a few still. He did some of them.
He did. So, I mean, going to what they're all known for, I mean, Max Martin and Johann Schellback are very pop. I mean, that's exactly what they're known for. So,
I mean, and you can hear that in the songs that they did. I Knew You Were Trouble, 22, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Like, it's obvious. Those are the poppy pop songs.
And what's funny is they actually kind of rotated them through the album too. Like, so they'll have one that will have Max Martin and Shellback, and then the next one will be a Nathan Chapman one, and then I'll switch back and forth, because that's one of the things that sometimes you want an album to kind of, that next song can't sound exactly like the previous song, but it has to kind of go with it though. Yeah. Or otherwise it seems like the album's all cut up all over the place. And beyond the producers, there's also the songwriters. Liz Rose, who's a very popular country music songwriter. Like the whole first album with on Taylor Swift, she co-wrote a lot of those songs with Taylor, including some of the big hits like Tim McGraw, Picture to Burn, and Teardrops on My Guitar.
And really, she wrote a bunch of the ones on Fearless, too.
True. And it's like she's kind of been phased out in a way, it seems. Like, you know, it's kind of bringing in new people and kind of just new ideas. And that's keeping it, you know, fresh and new and trying to get more people to listen to your music, you know. And that's, I think, Taylor's thing, is she doesn't want to, you know, stay the same every single album. She wants to be fresh and new every time, because really on this album it was Stay and All Too Well were the only two on Red that she wrote with Liz Rose. So I mean, she's still writing with her, but not to the level she was before. And actually those are probably two of the more likely country singles that may come off of Red, would be Stay and All Too Well.
I mean, I think it's interesting though that despite, like, that she's trying to change and doing stuff with these new producers and new writers, that, like, after not writing for like 5 or 6 months after the breakup, the first person that she went to write with and do All Too Well was Liz Rose.
That's a good point.
Because, like, that's, you know, that's sort of where she's comfortable.
Right, but speaking to the point about the writers, I don't think that she's necessarily phased out Liz Rose in any way. I think that she has just taken on other co-writers to help expand herself and introduce herself to new writing styles, new techniques, things that she can learn from.
I mean, she's also, like, she's not 16 anymore, and there's no reason that people should expect her to sound the same that she did when she was 16.
Yeah, I think it has more to do with growing herself as an artist than going away from country.
Yeah.
I agree. That makes a lot of sense, Adam. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, keeping with that point about her growing, let's talk about her image as well, because everybody always talks about it. I mean, Taylor, in my mind, still is wearing a sundress and cowgirl boots.
People still wear that to her shows.
I still wear that to her shows. I'm not going to give that up.
I saw a ton of people wearing that at her show. Yeah, definitely. And I even saw people at the McDonald's afterwards wearing that. That came from her show.
We have trouble letting go.
We miss old school Taylor. But we like new school Taylor, too. It's a balance.
See, I don't know, though, that the new outfits are necessarily like, oh, Taylor's no longer country. She's not wearing cowgirl boots, because she's doing a lot more with the production of the shows in terms of dancing and just all kinds of things like that. And I don't think boots are necessarily the most allowing footwear to do those kind of things.
Right. You can't really dance like she does in boots. You know, they don't allow for that. And also, like, I don't think boots and a sundress would match the songs that she's performing off Red, because they don't mesh well together. So, I mean, it makes sense that she would have to change her wardrobe.
And really, she's even changed her wardrobe since the Speak Now, at least from what I've been hearing. It's, you know, not so much like Speak Now. There was like tons and tons of dresses, and now we've kind of moved away from that. Even somebody was saying, like, Taylor Swift forgot to change out of her hangout clothes when she's on tour, because of, you know, just like she's wearing stuff that it would seems like when she just goes out and hangs out with friends, that's what she's wearing on the tour now.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Maybe it's not so much that she's moving away from country as much as it is she's starting to be herself a little more. Because I feel like, you know, and I'm not going to knock her for this, when she started and she was young, she was a teenager. Maybe she was doing the whole sundress and cowgirl boot thing to try and fit into her new home in Nashville.
That could be part of it.
Because that's just what teenagers do. They do what it takes to fit in because they're self-conscious. They want to be liked. They, you know, those type of things.
Well, it's not only teenagers. It's anybody that is trying to get in country music. You know, you can't go in there and say, I'm going to revolutionize country music. You actually kind of have to come in and take your licks and follow the rules, you know. people do that all the time. Like, when they come into country, sometimes they even say, hey, there's a country music artist that has a name that's similar to yours. You need to change your name. So people were even changing their name, changing their image. You know, like, Jason Aldean was kind of more of a rocker sort of, you know, in terms of his music and his tone. But, you know, he throws on the cowboy hat and kind of makes it, you know, more over to the countryside. Same with Brantley Gilbert, same sort of way. So they kind of went from rock to country to make it work. And then once you get in there, then you can start to express your own music ideals of what you think the genre should be, or just, you know, play outside of the genre a little bit, because you don't have to fit in that particular little box and say, this is the only stuff I can talk about or sing about. And if it doesn't have a truck in this song, it's not country.
Right. Which is what she is now allowed the opportunity to do, is expand. And it's interesting, if you listen back to episode 20, when we had Rick Barker on, Rick Barker obviously being her former manager, who started with her when she was in the Sundress and Boots. I actually asked him about that specifically. I asked about, I'm like, where did the Sundress and Boots go? And his answer was simple. There was nothing in-depth or complicated about it. He's like, she grew out of it. That's pretty much all it was. Like, there's no, like, underlying theme like, haha, I'm going to stick it to country music by changing my outfits.
Makes total sense to me. I mean, that's, once you get established, you have the ability to start expressing yourself in whatever way you want to. And that's what Taylor did.
So what do you guys think of her opening acts, her opening artists? They're not really country. Ed Sheeran's obviously not country, but I don't know. She still does have country artists opening before Ed.
Well, that's true.
Right, she does.
I think it's like a good representation of her, though, because she's still country, sort of, but she's also not. So she has a bit of both.
She's expanding the horizons of her fans that are going to the show. You know, people that may not be familiar with Ed Sheeran, she really enjoys his work. It's not like she's kind of forced into, hey, I need to go and promote this other country artist. Because I know that, you know, probably some record labels do that, where they say, hey, you need to have such and such artist to open for you because we want them to be big someday. And it's like, you know, I think she just says, hey, my tour sells out, I'm going to pick who I want. And that's why she's picked people she likes, like Ed Sheeran and Need to Breathe. And then also mixes it up with the, you know, openers to the openers, I guess you could say, where, you know, there's some people that have really come up since opening for the openers, like Charlie Worsham, Hunter Hayes.
Florida Georgia Line's gotten massive.
Yeah, they're getting bigger now.
And all three of those are, in fact, country artists, despite Ed Sheeran not being. With Ed Sheeran, I think it has more to do with the fact that he's like a male version of Taylor. Like, he writes very interesting lyrics. They're very autobiographical.
Things like that. My favorite thing is like how people go to the show and they're like, Ed Sheeran, I've never seen him live, I don't really like his music, I don't know. And then they come back and they're like, oh my god, he's so good. And like, I told you.
Okay, I want to make a claim on that. Ed Sheeran was the most unique and amazing performance I have ever seen, and I would love to discuss it more, but I want Steve to see it first, because he'll have no idea what I'm talking about. But Steve, just watch for unique things that he does when you get the chance to see him.
Will do.
Yes, and just know that he is going to blow your mind.
Yeah, so I don't think the openers are really any indication of her veering away from country, though.
I think this time Taylor was like, hey, Ed Sheeran, you're my friend. Come on tour with me. It'll be fun.
Well, I think people are just used to the traditional, like, a lot of other country tours going on right now. You know, Dierks Bentley's opening for Miranda Lambert, Hunter Hayes for Carrie Underwood, Thompson Square for Luke Bryan, Kenny Chesney for Eric Church. So, you know, once they say, well, you know, why is it not a country artist that is the main opener for Taylor Swift? How can she think she's country? I think that's their point, but it's not really a valid point, especially with the openers for the openers being, you know, country music artists, and really of ones that have come along since being on her tour.
Man, Carrie Underwood should be opening for Hunter Hayes.
No.
Someday. Oops. I think I just offended like half the audience.
Okay, Carrie Underwood, what are you kidding? She's been female vocalist like 80,000 times and like changed country music forever. Hunter Hayes is a child.
Yeah. The thing that I don't understand is why is Kenny Chesney opening for Eric Church?
He's not. He just wrote around? That backwards.
Okay, yeah, because I was
Kenny Chesney sells out around stadiums by like blinking. He's not opening for anyone.
Steve, writing the notes backwards.
Hey, I did the best I could.
Casey Musgraves is on that tour too.
Oh, I love her.
For everybody out there, this is the first episode Steve has planned, so let's congratulate him. Thanks, Steve.
Steve, yay. You did a great job.
You can put that round of applause soundtrack in there.
I'll do it right. Hang on. It's coming. It's coming right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a bow, I guess. So, yeah, if you did not like this episode, I am sorry. I tried my best.
I think it's a wonderful episode.
Thank you, Maya.
You did a great job.
So, getting to one last point about is Taylor country or pop? Highway Don't Care. Thoughts, opinions, anyone?
That's a country song.
Yeah, thanks, Diane.
No, it is.
I realize it's a country song.
Taylor Swift is in another country song that's popular on the radio right now. Like, I don't know what else to say about it other than I guess it's a reminder that she still likes the country genre.
Right, but one could argue that she merely supports it because that's where she's rooted. That's where her roots came from.
I don't think she dislikes it. Is that what you're saying? Or what do you
mean? I'm not saying she dislikes it. I'm saying she supports it and likes it. But that doesn't argue in favor of her still being country.
Well, she's on a country music record label with Big Machine. Her music is still found in the country section of stores. So, you know, it's always hard to determine that because people do kind of shift around or they're universally liked on different levels, and you just can't say, oh, she's only country. It only is supposed to be this way because, you know, she's going to do whatever she can do to just have that universal appeal, you know, put country songs that she has on country music radio and other ones that are more geared towards pop on pop radio. And why not do both?
So in that case, Steve, closing out the conversation with a quick yes or no, is Taylor Swift still country?
Yes.
Maya?
Yeah, I think so.
Diane?
Sometimes.
See, I'm going to say, it's unfair. I limited you guys to a yes or no question where I'm going to ramble here for a minute. But I think it's such a complex question because, I'm just going to give it a no. I don't think she's country anymore.
I think she thinks she's country. I think other people think she isn't.
I don't know. That's fair. Like, here's the real question, though. Whether she's country or pop, why does anyone care? I don't love her any less.
Well, that's good.
That's a good point.
I still love Taylor.
Oh my god, I'm so surprised.
Shut up, Maya.
I mean, country, actually talking about the genres is just talking about what the industry determines. You know, they want those cut and dry things. And when you are dealing with a human, there is elements of that you're not aware of and surprise and such. And that's the problem is, you know, you can't fit Taylor in a box and say she's exactly this. But if she's country or pop, it doesn't matter. We still love her. I definitely have to go and agree with you on that.
Any listeners, if you guys want to give us feedback on it, of course, please do give us your opinions. You can tweet us. We obviously at the end of every episode, we'll tell you every way you can contact us. Right now, we're moving on to Steve's favorite game.
Wheel of Taylor.
Another round of Wheel of Taylor, which we've actually been asked by someone who listens to the show to rename that because there is no wheel involved, which is true. So we're going to have to eventually come up with a new name for this game.
Or we can come up with a wheel.
Either way.
We're going to make it work one way or the other. But for right now, it's still Wheel of Taylor. So, Steve, the first question goes to you. Steve.
Yes.
What is Taylor's last name?
Steve, come on. You can do this. I believe in you.
Swift.
Woo! Steve got his first question right.
Oh, it's a miracle. I like these questions. Let's do more Wheel of Taylor. Do you got another question for me?
Actually, no, I don't. That was really your question for the week.
Okay. I'm happy with it. I could have even named her middle name if you really wanted to, if you wanted to go with the tough one.
Ooh, okay. For a bonus question.
Oh, boy.
Wait,
bonus
that was going to be Diane's question.
Oh.
Well, he didn't give out the answer.
Right, so but she got my question him. Right the last time, though, remember? Should be able to answer her question.
Steve, bonus question.
Yes.
What is Taylor's middle name?
Allison.
How many L's?
There's one L.
One L. That is correct, Steve. You're doing good on this Wheel of Taylor round.
He is on a roll.
Actually, that did sound like the wheel of, well, you know, the other one, because it's like, there's one L.
Spell it.
I will solve the puzzle. What is Taylor Allison Swift?
Yay! So, let's see. Maya, yes. Since we're on the subject area, name all of Taylor's immediate family members. And their relation.
Her father's name is Scott, her mother's name is Andrea, and her brother's name is Austin.
This is a trick question.
What, are you looking for other immediate family members?
Yes.
There's one more you're missing,
Maya.
Her cat's
name is Meredith.
Yes!
Yay!
Her dog's names are Bug and Baby.
Whoa, oh, she just went old school on you, Adam.
Actually, I can't even verify that because I don't know the dog's names.
I can because I met them.
Oh.
Aren't you cool, Maya? Just kidding.
Let's see. I got to come up with a question for Diane.
Steve stole mine. Or I guess Maya and Steve can come up with one for me if you're out.
I don't know. Do you either of you guys have a Wheel of Taylor question for Diane?
Here's the Wheel of Taylor question. Where does Adam get all his material from?
Google?
No. No, he doesn't.
He doesn't?
Nope.
His brain? I don't know about that.
He's got it from the Us Magazine Taylor Special Edition.
Actually, no. Steve, last week's question came from that magazine. Well, this week's came out of my head. That's why they were so easy.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for my question.
Wasn't that your question?
That was my question, but I think I answered it.
Oh.
But it was wrong anyhow.
All right. Well, I guess I lose. That doesn't have anything to do with Taylor Swift.
Whatever. I can think of a question. Do you want me to think of a question?
Yeah. Get her, Maya. Get Diane.
Okay.
Were you just speaking like Meredith? I wasn't sure. It sounded like you were like, meow, 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 meow.
Almost.
Meow, 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 meow.
What was Taylor's first number one ever?
Her first number one ever was Tim McGraw.
Nope.
Really?
Wrong answer.
What is it, Steve? You act like you know.
Huh?
Steve, do you know?
Is it Love Story?
Nope.
Was it Picture to Burn?
Our Song?
Nope. Yes.
That was going to be my...
Oh, Our Song. Yes. That would make sense. That's actually a very relevant question, considering what you mentioned in the tour updates, Maya.
Yeah.
Is that how you came up with that question?
No, I was just sort of trying to think of interesting facts, and then I remembered that... The intro to Our Song is 13 seconds long, and Taylor always talks about that because it was her first number one, and it has a 13-second intro.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah. So I thought of something kind of fun. I think that people who are listening to the show should try and stump us. They should start submitting questions for Wheel of Taylor. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Send us questions.
Send us questions. If you're going to send that, I highly suggest only the first method of contacting us, which is email. Email us at taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. Reason for that is only I check the email. So if you want to stump Diane, Steve, or Maya, send it there so I can see it and they won't see the answer.
So you want them to actually send both the question and the answer?
Well, yeah, because what if I don't know the answer? I can't stump you guys.
I thought you were the biggest Taylor fan in the world. You should know every answer.
Steve.
Yeah, Adam.
Steve. Don't tell anybody this, but I think Maya knows more about Taylor than I do.
I'll go with that.
That's probably true.
She's a secret but well-informed Swiftie.
So any other submissions can go to either Twitter, Facebook, Taylor Connect. All three, TaylorTalk13 is our username. You can also leave us a voicemail to area code 240-31-SWIFT. Or you can leave a voicemail directly on the website, taylortalk.org. Remember, all these methods of contact can be found at taylortalk.org. And, of course, the last reminder of the episode, if you love us, please go rate us on iTunes, leave us nice comments and 5-star ratings and stuff. That way iTunes knows that we are awesome and they can recommend us to other Swifties out there. We appreciate it in advance. Thank you in advance. But for episode 60, this has been Adam.
Maya.
Diane.
And Steve.
Signing off, so goodbye, everybody. We will see you all next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.